We are today, both of us will be reading on behalf of Pula when she's not here. Our reading will be on John chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. It's read as follows. A man came sent from God whose name was John. He was as a witness to testify about the light, so that everyone might believe through him. Himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Amen.
We found out that on the table was the topic of John the Baptist for today. I thought, yeah, we all know John the Baptist, but do we? If I asked you now, what is the first thing that comes to your mind about John the Baptist, what would you say? Great, he led the way, that's right, before Jesus came. Anything else? Maybe it's a good reason to have this sermon then, because I've learned heaps, let me tell you, just in this last week, I have learned heaps. What happens is we find in the Bible, in John chapter 1, which was where we read, in the very first verse there we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, God, Jesus, are one, Jesus and the Word are one. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing would have been done. In him was life, and that life was the light to all. Okay, so we're hearing this in John, that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the beginning. Then we find that he jumps very quickly to talk about John the Baptist. Now, there are actually 10 things that Jesus and John the Baptist have in common. And they are, they both were around the same age, born 6 months apart. They're both from the same extended family. Mary and Elizabeth were actually cousins. They both had righteous and godly parents. Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, the parents of John the Baptist and Jesus. Their births were recorded in the Old Testament. There is one coming. Both those births were recorded. Their births were also announced to their parents by an angel. Their names, in fact, were given to them by God. They both began their ministries around the age of 30. They both had a band of disciples. They both preached a message of baptism and repentance. They were both righteous men who were sentenced to death by the Roman leaders. 10 things in common. If we flick on to John the Baptist, we see that John the Baptist was sent by God to be that witness, to be a signpost to say that there is one coming who is greater than I, and that is the Messiah. But why? Why did God need to have someone to sort of come and announce from the hilltops, Jesus is coming, there's one greater than me who's coming? Same age, similar time frame. Why do we need someone to come before and to announce this? God actually sent a man, John the Baptist. So even this person making the announcement wasn't the king of the area, wasn't some, you know, big deal. He was a man, and an unusual man at that. They, yes, had things in common, John and Jesus, but they also had things that were very different. God sent angels to announce both their coming. But the angel that announced that John's birth was coming was talking about someone who was a man who was scruffy. I did think about dressing scruffily, but chose not to. He was a scruffy man. And he came and he cried out in the wilderness, and I'm sure people had him labeled as a lunatic. He was sent, but so were other people who would be classed as common people, everyday people, but they had this amazing message to announce. You look at Moses. Moses was sent with a message to the people of Israel. Why did God choose to speak through Moses? He wasn't a prophet. God could have used another means, but God chose Moses. When you think about Moses, Moses was a murderer. When you think about Gideon, who was used, Gideon was a coward. Samson was described as a lunatic. David committed adultery and murder and then tried to cover it up. Elijah suffered chronic depression. And Jonah disobeyed and tried to run away from God's will. Now, they're just a few of the people that God used. So in reality, he could have used you and I. We're sinners. He could have used us. He used John the Baptist. The reason why God uses these people is that he works through human agents. And we can learn a lot from that today. We are those human agents that God will use. So John was sent to proclaim the coming of Jesus, to prepare people's hearts for the first coming of Christ. And you and I are to prepare the hearts of those around us for the second coming of Christ. You and I are modern day John the Baptist. The Bible says that we've all been sent as witnesses. John the Baptist was sent to the people of Israel, and you and I have been sent to the people we come across in our everyday lives. And the word is sent. And yes, if you're a follower of Jesus, you too have been sent. I have been sent to prepare the way for the coming of Christ and to point people to Jesus. It's a deal. It's a done deal. When I gave my life to Jesus, part of that was, I will follow you and I will share who you are and what you can do in the lives of individuals with those around me. It goes hand in hand in following Jesus. Who have you been sent to? Yep, the people in your neighbourhood, the people you work with, maybe the people in an interest group, in your mahjong group, in your guitar group, whatever. They're the people who need to hear the word of God. We need to point others to Christ. So he was sent, but he also was to witness. We've been sent, and yes, we are to witness. Now, if you look at a court case, in a court, you've got witnesses who come and say, yes, you know, I swear on the Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. John was a witness, but he was a witness in two areas. In a court case, you have eyewitnesses, and you have expert witnesses. So if you've got someone who, like when I went on jury duty, one of the court cases I was on was a murder case, and this ex-boyfriend of the hairdresser stabbed the current boyfriend to death. And we had eyewitnesses, so the people who actually saw that happen stood up and gave the account of what happened. We then had expert witnesses who described, because how this guy put the knife into the person to kill him, he knew exactly what he was doing. This expert witness was saying, what happened was he had it in the direction of the heart under the rib cage. So he knew very well what he was doing, and he put the knife in so that it went up behind the rib cage into the heart, and he died instantly. The expert could say, look, these are the facts. This is what happens when you've got a knife this long, and this is what happens, blah, blah, blah. So we had the eyewitnesses, the people who actually saw what happened, and then we had the expert who could say, because that's what happened, we know that exactly. So John was both an eyewitness and an expert witness. John saw the Spirit in the form of a dove come down on Jesus when he baptized him. That was what he saw. That was the eyewitness. But the expert knowledge that he has was that God said to him, I will point out to you who the Messiah is. So he knew, God had told him that I will point out. And then he saw and he put two and two together and he knew that this was the Messiah. Now I found myself thinking about John knowing Jesus was his cousin and seeing Jesus walking to him at the River Jordan and saying, oh yeah, there's cousin Jesus. But it was own, and he said, look, you know, I want you to baptize me. And John said, no, 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 no. And when he baptized him, he saw the dove and he knew that he wasn't just his cousin Jesus. He was actually the Messiah. So he'd put together his expert knowledge, what God had revealed to him, and then what he saw. So he was both an expert and an eyewitness. This is why John and Jesus show up at the same time. One had the information that consolidated what they saw. John was someone who the leaders at the time, they knew him. They knew him as a preacher and a teacher, and they knew that he had a tribe of disciples. So he, in a sense, had some sort of authority in the eyes of the community and the rulers at the time. So they trusted him. If it was somebody from the crowd that just came out and said, that's Jesus, it wouldn't have had the clout that it had coming from John the Baptist. So it was important that somebody go before to say, yes, this really is the Messiah. Jesus had walked over that hill into the River Jordan and said, here I am, I'm the Messiah. It wouldn't have been with the authority that John was able to say, this is the Messiah. I have seen and God has told me that this is he. So John was someone who was recognized, and yes, they were cousins, but also he was the one that came before and he put it together that this indeed, his cousin, was the Messiah. In other words, the dove came and he had the words of God. At the baptism, we read, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Watch with me now this video clip. John was sent to witness. And we now, in response, have the same brief. Go and witness. So I want us now just to look at five ways that we can follow Jesus in the same way that John the Baptist did. Firstly, he followed with joy. John's first response to finding Christ was having a presence of joy in his life. There wasn't surprise, there wasn't fear. You know, as the actor spoke, saying, there's the Lamb of God, and the weight was lifted. It was almost like this freedom came upon him and there was a joy. The joy made it that for us, if we've got that joy, we are effective in what we share. If you've got someone who's selling you something and they're down in the dumps about it saying, oh yeah, look, you should go to church and follow Jesus. It's pretty good, you know. Yeah, and you'll get to heaven. It's okay, but you've got to repent, you've got to do that. But if you've got someone who is filled with joy about wanting you to know and experience what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. That is something that joy speaks louder than the frown. Sure, you're going to get to heaven without joy, but you're not going to be effective in sharing the gospel with others if you do it without joy. John the Baptist followed with that joy. There's a book out there and it's called Saints Are Not Sad. Sure, we have sad days, we have good days, but the essence of when we are sharing something as joyful as a relationship, a living relationship with Jesus, then that joy is just comes out of us. So if we follow with joy, we are following Jesus in the same way as John the Baptist did. He also followed with humility. You know, he says, I am not worthy even to untie his shoes. And you've got the disciples of John the Baptist coming up to him and saying, hey Jesus, look, they're all now following Jesus. Where's all the people who used to follow us? And I can see John just sitting back and smiling and saying, I've done my job. Isn't it great that God's desire is being fulfilled, that those are hearing about Jesus and following Jesus. Maybe I don't have many disciples, but I'm not here for me. It's all about him. And in the clip, the closing words, it's all about him. So when we go to witness, we're not there saying, oh, look, we go home and I led 5 people to the Lord today. Hey, God, remember me, that's another ruby or another diamond in my crown. No way. We are there in humility, sharing what Christ has done in our lives and how they too can share in that with humility. The other thing to notice with the humility is that if John's the signpost, you know, if people get to the signpost and the signpost says Bathurst that way, and here the signpost is in Lithgow, you don't stay in Lithgow thinking, here's the signpost, I'll stay here. You go all the way. So if you're the signpost, you're the witness saying Bathurst that way, they leave you. If they stay with you, you're not working as a signpost, because they're stopping and saying, hey, Lithgow's pretty good. We're only a signpost. We are sending them where we're meant to, and that is to Jesus. We're just a signpost. If people get content with the signpost and miss the destination, I think we've been ineffective as signposts. The next thing was, we're to follow with clarity. Now, John didn't pull any punches. Repent, 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 and be baptized. In other words, you're a sinner. It's not, hey, you know, look, maybe you shouldn't do that. You know, look, John was there saying, no, you need to turn around, stop where you are, turn around and go in the other direction. Repent and be baptized. I might add, Chris, I was baptized in Ermington Church. So that's when I became a Baptist, when I was baptized. Because before then, I was a Christian and a follower of Jesus, but I hadn't been baptized. And if I hadn't have been baptized, I wouldn't be standing here today. Okay, so follow with clarity. The next is follow with courage. He dressed humbly. He didn't get the props or do the things to, you know, encourage people. He just thought, this is who I am, and what's important is not who I am, but is the message that I have. So he very boldly spoke. He spoke to the king, saying things like, you shouldn't be sleeping with your dead brother's wife. He didn't soften anything. He told the people, you are sinners, you need to repent. So we need to have courage in what we're saying. He wasn't afraid of living one way that didn't carry another message. He lived with the words and the courage to speak God's word, God's message, and he lived according to what it was that God wanted him to do and how he wanted him to live. He called Pharisees snakes. He called people sinners. And their greatest need was repentance. He was very clear. So we need to have courage. Now, if you're proclaiming the faith with joy, humility, clarity, and courage, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Now, if we slip up, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. But there is this expectation as a follower of Jesus to witness and share with others. Why? I mean, why do you keep it to yourself? You know, if we get to heaven and we find that that lady down the street many years, you know, is there, you know, what a joy it is. The kingdom is being built and we are the witness. We are the signpost pointing them to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. He clinches the deal, so to speak. And then the last thing we need to do is follow with selflessness. It's not about you. It's not about me. John humbly declared Christ and put him forward and said, this is the one you need to follow. So yes, we are modern day John the Baptist. We are sent as Christians. That is part of the deal. And we are sent to witness, but we witness about who Jesus is and why he came and the message of the word of God. Repent and be baptized, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The message. We need to point people to Christ. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we think about the role of John the Baptist and the aspect that he felt so much lighter when he had done his job for God, that he had pointed the way. Father, I pray that we too will get to a point where we know that you are pleased with us and that we've been effective in sharing you with others. Father, I pray that you will fill us with the joy. Pray that we'll have the courage to speak and we will speak with clarity. Father, I pray that you will work in us, giving us what we need to be able to do that effectively for you. Because our desire is the kingdom grows, your word is spread, and others share what it is that we have been privileged enough to know and experience. We thank you that you have loved us, that you have fed us, that you have changed us, that you have forgiven us. And Father, we pray that you'll continue to work in our lives as we continue to step by step serve you and witness to you, to our neighbours and our friends. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.